children can influence and also those that are practicing in Christian policy and influence our kids as they are. Reading the scripture from the Gospel of Luke, verses 26 through 38, and reading for us this morning. I want to read about, I want to ask you, I know this is a familiar passage, a Christian story. I want to ask you to look at the front five this morning. So that we can give you thoughts and ideas of just I think of it as the first time that you're hearing this. In the sixth month, Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nebula, the Galilee, to her to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord with you." Mary was looking so at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You will find favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." How will this be? There is an angel inside of a virgin. The angel went, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, your relative, going to have a child with her own age. She who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month. For no word from the Lord will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Father, we turn to the word and we ask to the Lord that you will speak to us. Lord, let us enter into the wonder and the amazement of seeing your word prophetically fulfilled to people of our day, but also to us today. For may we see your holy eyes and may we hear with ears to hear and heart to open. We ask you indeed to say, amen. As the scripture to hold in Latin in the Illumination, imagine, if you will, the coming of the Messiah, the King. And you notice, I want to point this out and emphasize this, that he focuses on that a few things, that the one that is to be born will be called the Son of the Most High. And then also, that the Lord will give him the throne of his father, David, who will reign over Jacob's descendants. Jacob is another word for Israel, meaning the house of Israel. The house of Jacob and the house of Israel. Well, that was important to us. Why is it important? Well, a statement or declaration of an angel some 2,000 years ago. What does it say to us? What does it say to us? Well, the king here is a fulfilled prophecy that the Jewish king, the Jewish Messiah, that was promised, prophesied, is about to be fulfilled. Now, you might say, "Well, I'm not Jewish. That's okay. I'm not here." But the group of believers in Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, and the words of the Roman Lord want to talk to you about the coming King, the one who loved the King, who was prophesied upon, and then he did come and fulfilled those prophecies, and then in the after his ministry, he said, I'm leaving, and I will come again. So the main point of this message is really two things. Again, the angel Gabriel declares that the coming one, the prophet, will be named Yeshua, in which is Jesus. He will be the great Son of the Most High God, and he will be the great King, whose kingdom will never end. You see, Christmas is all about Jesus, the King. We pray Christmas into many things. And we are trying to extract Jesus out of it. But the thing that we cannot do is the very fact of his name, Christmas, as the name of Christ in it. I don't know if you ever recognize that. Christmas, Christmas. It has a name. You can't take those kind of Christmas. It's all about him. And it's all about the time. And hers is something that is never meant to be. Someone commented through the website that we have been putting messages all there for Facebook about the experience of the coming of Christmas and Jesus coming King. Someone messaged me through the website and they said, you know, Christmas doesn't have anything to do with Jesus, so we should be focusing on what he called us to, repentance and faithful family. And so, yes, you are aware that the institutional church doesn't simply be a pagan holiday for Christmas. But the institutional church, the Lord of the Tribes and the Holiday Days, substituted for their pagan holiday and gave it Christmas instead of a pagan holiday. There's lots of people who don't know that was a good idea or a bad idea. But you know what happened? Probably close to 2,000 years ago, maybe 1,800 years ago. I'm not interested in the name, but we all agree that it was not born in the spring. We know that. Most likely it was born in the spring or in the fall. So let me ask you a question. And if you didn't know where your birthday was, your birthday, and you were born, obviously. And you don't know what your birthday is, what would you do? Well, you would take a day. You celebrate your birthday. You would say, no one has a phone, so I'm going to pick April 15th. So I can celebrate my birthday with my wife at the same time. I don't know what the early church did with Jesus. They did not know exactly when he was born. They chose December 25th. Was a good choice. I'm not here to debate that. You know that I did that. But all of you, as I said in my notes, we're here to leverage Christmas. Use it every way that we can so that we can tell people the good news of fulfilled prophecies about the Messiah to come and see. The reason to share the good news of his gospel that this coming King came for the very specific reasons. And the first one, to save us from our sin. You see, the name Jesus, the angel gave us a prayer that they all came from the name Jesus. We looked at this last week, the name Jesus, Yeshua, for short, or Yehoshua, means Yahweh saves. And Yahweh is our foundation for the long. And so the fulfillment, this promise is a fulfillment. Not only of the coming Messiah, but the very nature of God. He is the God who saves. He comes to save his people from their sins. Look with me for a moment at Psalm 130, verses 7 to 9. The psalmist writes about how God intends his big plan, his big picture plan, if you will. Verses 7 and 8 to Psalm 130, and Paul Walker is going to read that for us.
Heavenly Lord, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is undying love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
Thank you. exist in the presence of all that. And this is why the angel came and declared, these are all in Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. This is fulfilling God's plan. This is fulfilling God's desire and his heart. He loves the people who understand the love. So they are forsaken, so they are unfaithful, time and time and time again, just as we are. But he says, my unfailing love will not fail. You will have full redemption, and God himself will save you from your sins. This is what God is doing for Christians, for the coming kingdom, the coming Messiah. I'm going to talk for just a moment and ask the question, do you know what's coming? Have you received God's salvation through the Father? Have you received God's salvation, forgiveness of sin, through his name, King Jesus? If you have, I hope through this message that you will have your heart touched and you will move in a way that God can save you from your sins. So let's look at them. The woman, the angel declares that his coming King, his coming Messiah, is the name Jesus, Yeshua, and he will be the great Son of the Most High God. Verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Stop right there. This is a different verse. The Jewish people, as we study the scriptures, they look for the Messiah. They look for the anointed one who was to come and fulfill the prophecy. They did not imagine, never did they conceive in their mind, that he would be the Son of the Most High. What does that mean? Well, we have here first the testimony of the angel Gabriel. Gabriel, we've already seen him earlier in the Gospel of Luke. It's recorded that he appears first to Zechariah and to Elizabeth. And he says, my name is Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. That's what he means to think about it. Gabriel stands in the presence of God. And so, Gabriel has a bird's eye view of God's words in Gabriel. And he goes to him and he says, here's what the Lord God says. So, we have first the testimony of Gabriel, the angel. And he says, here comes to be the Son of the Most High God. And there are wonders at this. And she it's hard enough to realize that he's not talking about whether she marries her. She asks the question, how will this be since I am a virgin? This is why the angel answers her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born to you will be called the Son of God. This is called the incarnation. God becoming man. God came upon flesh. Now, last week we talked about this at one time in the Gospel of Matthew about the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit up there. I'm not going to spend on that again today. But rather, I want us to look at the theological implications of this. So we do have the testimony of the Incarnation, but now I want us to look at the testimony of the apostles. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we have the testimony of the Apostle John. He said this, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In verse 14, he says, and the Word became flesh, and then he dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. The Word is another title or another attribute name of the Son. The pre-existent Son put on flesh and lived among us in the name of Jesus Christ. And so he goes on to say, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Not that he said, amen. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came to the Father. and the three have seen the glory. The glory of the Lord and of the Son. In John's letter, first note, he takes pains to explain. He says, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have touched, we put our hands upon him. Even after he was dead and raised, you remember how he told us. He said, God, I'm not going to believe unless I see and know what's in the dead. And I put my finger in the wall. And Jesus said, I am not going to be going to the altar with them when Jesus first appeared to them. The next time they were together, they're all together, Jesus appears. And he says, Thomas, come, put your fingers in the nail marks on the hand, and put your hand on the side of the wound, and see that it's me, I am not a spirit. And that's what we call them. Thomas, to respond, my Lord and my God. We have seen his glory. Not only did he see the glory of the resurrected Christ, but he saw the glory of the works of the Messiah. They saw him open by his eyes. They saw him raise people from the dead. Can you imagine? When they called Lazarus, he didn't reign 4 days. When Jesus said, go away, they told him, oh, they saw the glory of the one and only Son. So we have the Hebrew testimony, we have John's testimony, and the apostle, and then we have Jesus' own testimony. In John chapter 8, verse 23 and 16, 28, raise your name to come read those two for us.
So we continue to remember from above. To believe that he is the Son of God.
because you cannot receive his salvation. You cannot receive forgiveness of sins unless you believe in him. For it says, unless you believe who I tell you that I am, you will die in your sins. Number two, not only Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, the Lord is coming, but the name of Israel protected with Jesus is the Davidic King. He is the Father, the anointed one, whose kingdom reigns forever. We read verses 32 to 33 again. He will be gracious to be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. The Jewish people were looking for the coming Messiah. If you have to read the prophets, you see many, many promises of the coming Messiah. Those that knew the scriptures were expecting the king to come. They were looking for it. In fact, in this very day, those Orthodox Jews, those who still on the faith and the trust in God and still believe the scriptures, they say something every year. They say on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, they say they're looking for the Messiah that is going to come with them next year in Jerusalem. They still looking for the Messiah to come. Jesus was the Messiah that they were looking for, but they missed it. Well, I'm not missing it. And Jesus said that he is going to give him the throne of his father David. Wait a minute. Does that mean that Jesus was in David's lineage? Yes, it does. If you look at his genealogy, it goes back to Joseph, all the way back to the lineage of David. And also saw last week in the lineage of Mary, and also the Mary lineage goes back to David. He is a wonderful king because he is in the lineage of David, but also because God has chosen him. Psalm 2 says, today I have forgotten thee. Today, I'm chosen you to be my son. We don't necessarily have the name of the king, but it's being applied then to the Messiah and the fellowship we promised him. Let me give us a little background so that we understand that the end is of the only king. 2 Samuel 27, verses, really at the end of verse 11, where it says the word of prayer, but 12 through 16.
The Lord declares to you that the Lord must help you over the house of Jordan. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise you up your offspring to succeed you, who will come to the Lord body and will work in worship to him. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of your kingdom from you. I will be his father, and you will be my son.
The Lord is choosing for here. The name is the His kingdom, your kingdom, with your name. The kingdom will belong to all, to the end, forever. This is what we as humans and through my human scripture, we do get it. God's plan is to bring the Messiah. We are to bring the baby and give him the throne of the Father here, and his kingdom will be forever. Just because Jesus left, doesn't mean that he's not a king anymore. Just because he ascended back to the Father, doesn't mean that he's no longer the king, reigning on our hearts. Remember one day, he's coming back, and he's going to establish his earthly kingdom again. He comes back, this time he's not coming with mercy and meekness, but rather ruling with an iron rod. He's going to come, and he's going to fix everything, and you say, amen. I'm waiting, I'm looking, I'm going to come, Lord Jesus. Because we're in the ignorance. Just in case, I'm not sure if this is referring to David's line in the kingdom. I want you to read quickly Psalm 89, verses 35 to 37. And a little quicker to that verse. You can read the lesson. Bruce Gordon, not a good Bruce Gordon. Thank you.
First of all, I'm on my list. When I will continue forever and is going to endure before me like the sun, to be established forever like the moon, the faithful, the faithful witness in the sky.
Now, the big help and even forever, I hope that comes up for you. His line will go on forever, and his line was consummated in the Messiah, Jesus. Glorious. Chapter 5, verses 3 to 4. This verse really combines both of these concepts, the concept of the Messiah and the Son of the Most High, and also that Jesus is the great king, the kingdom of the Lord. Let me read it for you. As for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, even though you remain least among the sons of Judah, nevertheless, the one who rules in Israel for me will emerge from you. His repentance has been from antiquity, even from past eternity. That's from the New Testament. This is why Jesus, the Father, is going to come down to Bethlehem to know Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Fulfilling the prophecy that out of Bethlehem, this ruler comes, the one that is existence. The Son of God put on flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory, the glory of the one that will be born. So we come back to Luke as we finish up this morning. And we read these words on the page. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will rule over the house of David forever. His kingdom will never end. Jesus is the reigning king. Jesus said, I've come to do my Father's will. Jesus, at the end of his ministry, his great prayer, John chapter 17, he says, Father, I have completed the work that you gave to me. And now, Father, I'm coming back to you. And we ask that I would share in the glory we had since before the world began. You submit your life to the reigning king. At the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus says his words. He says, blessed are you, Thomas, because you have seen. But blessed most of are those who have not seen and yet believe. He says, we can't point out to anyone today. It hasn't been this way for 2,000 years. We can't point out to the physical Jesus, but we can point out to the spiritual Jesus, because this Messiah, this King who reigns in our hearts, reigns in our lives. And at Christmas, I urge model for every nation. You know, to whatever situation upon telling you to work in history, you go to the neighbor nation so far. But just remember, whose birthday is it? You're going to celebrate Christmas. Whose birthday is it? Say it again. How about getting him a business? We're not going for ourselves, we're not going for our family members in that time. But how about when Jesus is born? First of all, in our lives, in our lives, because he is the King, the one who reigns, and he's worthy of our lives. Number two, for all of your lives. Maybe your Christmas gift to the Lord this year can be a special new surrender of your heart. I know we need to surrender every day. But yet, there must be not a you, right? Just like an church. You're not married, and you say, I do. And when you get married, you say, I do every day. You go on and on. Same thing with a relationship to the Lord. The way you feel on mine. Love for a revelation. Love attitude before. Let's submit our lives every day to the reigning King. Because Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus, the reigning King, who also is the returning King. Let's go to the next slide again. Lord, our name is that we spend just a few minutes looking at some of the prophecies that come in Jesus, your Son, from the Father. Lord, let us recapture the wonder and awe, the reverence, the fear of the Lord, as we see how you have fulfilled your word. And Lord, you have fulfilled your word and promise that you will continue to do so. One day, you're going to send Jesus back to the earth. Jesus, you told us clearly. You told us to be watching and waiting. You told us not to be apathetic, not to fall asleep, but rather to be serving you, doing what you've asked us to do. So, Lord, I pray for each one of the people. We evaluate our lives. So help us to be honest. Say, Lord, I'm going to be I'm turning to you, to Jesus, and am I living my life for your glory and your honor every day? So speak to us. Lord, in this materialistic world that we live in, where we're entertaining every day at every point in return with all of the stuff in the universe that we can rely on, the Christmas is about, for all of us to recapture the heart of Christmas. Jesus, and is there anything that be precious in the living name? And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. As we hope to serve with anyone in prayer for any reason, we want to see how one of our leaders will be up here, and the elders will be here, and you can be praying for them, and those who are, we have that available as well. Let's stand as we receive the benediction. Remind you that before we pray in the fire of the beginning afterwards, the practice of being like you being in the fire, the one for your other sins, that you can say. Amen. Okay, do it for the ones. Amen. Amen. And then receive the benediction. And now may the most holy God pour out his love and his grace to you for all of us. Through Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our King. Your brother, the same Jesus, we pray.